bulletins, you can use that. Grab a piece of paper and a pen or something. You'll need that just for a few moments in a moment to take and do a little bit of writing, and then you can take other notes if you want to as well. But again, good morning to each and every one of you here. I'd like to start this morning by giving you some hints, maybe I'd like to call that, and see if you could find it and tell me what the word might be, okay? Strength, energy, power would be maybe one hint of this particular word. No? No, good. But that's not the word. Impetus, or anything that stimulates activity, something that's an incentive, would be maybe another definition of this word. No? Not motivation. Power to control, persuade. No. No. Any group of people organized for some activity, such as a sales force. There we go. Sales force. Okay. This is an interesting word with a lot of different definitions, and I'll go back over this now that you know the words. One of the definitions, strength, energy, or power, would fit under this term of force. Impetus, anything that stimulates activity, anything that stimulates activity or incentive. Another definition would be physical power or coercion exerted against a person or thing. The one that's I'd like to take note of especially is power to control, to persuade. Effectiveness would be another part of this one. And that, I said, well, what does effectiveness mean in connection with this? It's like somebody did something to affect a person to smile. You know, they sort of did things to force that person to smile even though they might not have wanted to. Would be an example of forcing somebody to do something they didn't like to. But then also, in a worldview, they have this as military, naval, or air power as another definition of force. And I thought that was kind of interesting, thinking about what we've covered, and I forgot to mention about some of the different events that we had last week. One of them was creation, and so it covers all the bases of things that were made creation, on the land, in the water, and up in the air. And so it covers all those different areas. It also talks about the different groups of soldiers, the sailors, and so forth, or is the people connected with this kind of a military effort. And then there's some other examples that are part of the definition, such as in law or in physics. But that's that's the noun form. There's a whole other section about some other, like forced or forcing. And as I said, there's a lot of different definitions. But with just that much, if you would take the time now on your piece of paper for the moment and just list down some of the forces that you can think about that are out there in the world. And then we'll take and just ask quickly review what you put down here in general. So let's just take a moment while I take and get the stuff ready for this after here. was interesting this morning for the songs we had that you might keep in mind. We started with the rock, the solid rock, and then also about him coming again. Two things to consider as we go through our lesson this morning. How about some different examples? Who likes to give out one each, you know? The wind is a force, okay. Gravity. What?
Rain.
Rain, okay. Yeah, rain, as it accumulates, can be a deadly force, as we found out this past summer here. Advertising. I heard something else. I don't know. Fire. Okay, advertising, fire. Those are certainly forces. TV. Okay.
So,
the what?
The law.
No, the police. The law. Okay, right. They're supposed to be a force. Sometimes that's not recognized. Others. Huh? Religions, okay, yeah. They can exert a lot of force in different ways. Jim?
Terrorists,
okay. Another way of having force. Okay, so we have some examples. Huh? Supreme Court. Okay. All right, so there's some examples that you can have. And if you have some more on your list, that's good. We have the idea of force. Then we have this other word of power. And so sometimes, you know, I was basically thinking about force, but then I just thought about power the more I was into this stuff here. And just briefly again, it's the ability to do something or the capacity to act. It's kind of the general definition of the word of power. And it could be with great ability to do something or great ability to act. It's also the ability to control others. To control others under force, if you remember the idea of persuading somebody, but this is the idea of controlling others, having an authority, having influence, perhaps using physical force, and using that such as to exert what you'd like to have them to doing, having the capacity to do that, having the capacity to force things. A person having great influence, force, or authority are some of the general definitions of power. So they're interrelated between those two terms. And I won't ask you to put down some examples about that, but I want you to understand that these two terms exist. And to me, you could have like one person, let's say, might have one force. And then there's somebody else that has several or many forces. Who's probably going to be the one that's going to be able to control? Probably the one with many, because they're going to be able to overcome, unless the one person has something really super special, the one person with many forces will be able to control with somebody with one force. That's kind of something to take and remember. What I'm going to show you right now is something as I was thinking about this subject in regards to Joseph, and you might say, well, where's this going with Joseph? I hope you'll tie this together here as we go along. But I was thinking about this as another way of looking at Joseph's life. And so what you're about to see is something that was made, I don't even know when the Star Wars films were made. There was three of them. Maybe somebody has a date about when they were made, but it's been some time since they were made. But these are my opinions about this particular series. And after I saw the first one, first of all, I thought it was just basically a fictional story. No real intent behind it necessarily. I thought it had, to me, the first time high-tech was the motivation. You needed some kind of a medium to see if I could do different things. With different things from the photographic standpoint. And so I thought there might have been some other things that tried some science fiction kind of things and ideas, but to me this was kind of like the start of all these high-tech things used as computers and so forth to make these things, because certainly they weren't real. But then it also introduced a phrase. And then it also, the first one was very successful, and that creates a problem as far as I'm concerned. Those are all my opinions with regards to it. The phrase, if you might remember, if you've seen it or heard, may the force be with you. May the force be with you was introduced into this story. And as I said, it seemed like a fictional story totally because of all the creatures and different things. But then they put this term in there, may the force be with you. What did they mean by that? And that started to me think about it the first time I saw it. Like, is this something, a totally new force that we don't know nothing about? We know about gravity. That's been around for a long time, you know, and other things. What's this force? And so I took it as something maybe totally new. But it seemed as the story went on that it talked about a person could sense different things or do different things beyond his abilities, using his mind if he had this force working in his life. And so with that thought in mind was the first one. Then there was like this small group versus the big group. So the small group was sort of introduced in this one. The second one introduced the bigger group, kind of like to me. And then the third one combines the two of them together here. But the problem that I see with the film is that the first one was a very big success. I don't know if he understood where it was going to go with that, how successful it was going to be to make something. If it doesn't work, you know, you stop right there. And so to me, because it was so successful, it allowed him to take and produce other films, and there was no fear of what he put into them by this point. And so he could start to introduce his own thoughts that he might have held or that he's trying to impress upon somebody else. And initially, if you were trying to get everybody to accept it, you might suppress those thoughts so they don't see what's going on. And so to me, that's what the problem was. As what you're going to see is part of the end of this last film, the third one in this series, and it's kind of rough to see here and everything, but I trust that you'll see. And again, this has to do with what we've been talking about as far as this morning with force and power, and we'll look at that right now for the moment, so if you have the lights on. See if I got this to work right. We have a commercial in the middle that I got to skip over.
Before, and I don't believe you'll destroy me now.
You underestimate the power of the dark side. If you will not fight, then you will meet your destiny.
I'm on it, gold leader.
Good shot, Red Suit.
Now, come on, Arnold, buddy. Don't let me down.
It's over, Commander. The rebels have been routed. They're fleeing into the woods. We need reinforcements to continue the pursuit.
Send 3 squads to help.
Open the back door, sir.
Throw me another charge.
Thank you.
it really gives you something to think about. The first time I saw that, it really made me do a lot of thinking about where did he actually go with this film by this time. Certainly the two definitions that I gave you, the two words, are certainly right there. And I'll talk about them in just a moment there. But we took a look last week at different ways of looking at Joseph's life. One of them by looking at a timeline, a person's life. So here was two people's lives, his father and also his son Luke there. And somehow, I don't remember how, his father got mixed up on the wrong side and was overtaken by them, like somebody trying drugs perhaps and then becoming overpowered. And so he's fighting off all the forces at the end there, as you saw, to try to overcome what was taking place in his life there. But we kind of have like the underdog versus the strong group of people, or the dark side in these series of films. How was it made by this last one? To me, it simply took the definitions of force and power and put them on a film. As I read those definitions, if you didn't see those two words presented in a real strong way, you missed it, I think. But so they just took a very creative way of displaying what force and power might be like. And then the other thing that he also did was present, and this is why it wasn't necessarily any new real force, but just the old battle between good and evil. And we saw that if you take and look in Genesis chapter 3 there, Genesis chapter 3, as we looked at this a long time ago in our Sunday school study, chapter 3 and verse 4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil." And so this filmmaker got down to that point, George Lucas, to take in just another display of good and evil, or the good people versus the dark side, for instance. And so it really came down to forces and powers, good and evil, not something fictional, not something totally different, along with some other thoughts like there was love throughout the different things, throughout the films. There's adventure, there's special effects. All these things were thrown into the thing. But this last scene was particularly troublesome to me as I looked at it the first time and kept considering it down through the years. Because we have him as he becomes stronger and he defeats his father for that time there. How did he take and do that? His hate built up to make him stronger. And we looked at one way of Joseph's life through a thread. And that thread was through his brothers. And his brothers, as he received the coat of many colors, as we gave you the example of that last week, their hate built up to the point where they wanted to take and kill their own brother. And they settled for taking and throwing him into a pit and selling him out to the Ishmaelites as they went by there. And so, certainly it seems like, do we have to take and join part of the world to be successful in the world? That would be the message that was asking me out of the film. Do we have to take and join the dark side? Do we have to take and cheat? Do we have to take and steal? Do we have to take and lie? And anything else that you want to put in there and be part of the world in order to be successful in this world. Otherwise, we're not going to be successful. That was the message of the question that was leaving to me. And if it left this to other people, where would they go for the answers? We have the Word of God to take and help answer all these different questions and see the battle that was presented there. But some of these other people might not have seen that. And thought, well, yeah, I have to take and do these different things in order to be successful, in order to take and survive. And so that's the subtlety to me of this particular series as it got to that point, and the film producer was able to produce what his feelings were, throw out some of his thoughts that bothered him a long time ago. Turn to Genesis chapter 40, if you would. Genesis chapter 40, this is taking place, this event, another event in Joseph's life here, was when he was in prison. and we'll take a look at verse 13. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. It wasn't a place that he wanted to be, even though this was referred to back in verse 20 of chapter 39, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. I don't know exactly what that meant. Well, there's a little bit better type of a prison, but still it was in prison, a place that apparently he says here he doesn't want to be in. Bring me out of this house, in verse 14. And then we have verse 15 of chapter 40. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. So what is he actually saying? Saying twice to me the wrong thing has been done, and you could put over that, not fair. He might be saying, this wasn't fair to me. As many people might say of different things that happen, life's not fair in this way or that way. And so you have Joseph at an early point considering this. But as you know the story of Joseph later on, as he says at the end there, that God allowed all this to happen for a reason. And so he was able to see things later on that he couldn't see right now. So there's different forces that we took and listed. You had you listening and listed about gravity. Maybe you had on your list electricity. Joseph didn't have any electricity back then, at least I don't think. I haven't recorded anything back then. I don't know. And yet they went along fine, you know. But how would we live without electricity today in our country? We depend on it a very great deal. Some of the other forces that I thought of in the category of forces might be like sickness, which would affect each and every one of us in different ways, depending on what we had. But to me, a sense of a force. Another force to me is reading, or the force of our minds, the reading in our minds. What we read and put in our minds is a force, a tremendous force. Certainly, as you saw this particular film clip there, the idea of hate or envy, strong force, and that was found in Joseph's brothers. Another force that was in Joseph's life that's very much a part, a problem, is that of the temptation of Potiphar's wife. Again, it was so strong that Joseph fled from that to get away from that. And so you can see that as another force in Joseph's life that was there for that time and ended up putting him into prison. And so this morning we're looking at another way of looking at Joseph's life by the idea of forces, the idea of forces that are taking place there. The idea of hunger, strong force there because it drove his whole family to go down and seek for food. They didn't have the food because of the famine. And Joseph had the food. So who had the power? He was in control. The Pharaoh gave him complete control over all this, and so he had a great deal of power under his, because he could control feeding people. Sometimes we think of money as being a force. Certainly with his brothers, they brought money with them to take and buy the food, and on the first time back, it was found in their sack. What happened to them? They were probably really scared. Look what's going to happen. How'd this money get in there? We didn't pay for our stuff. They're going to come after us. And so the force of money in different ways enters the picture of people's lives. I thought of the force of parents. And I don't remember reading anything about Joseph as far as his training, religiously you might say, but certainly God was in his life. I don't know if he went to church while he was in Egypt. Doesn't say that they met any place. I mean, if he's down there by himself initially, doesn't say anything about, you know, going to some kind of a gathering, his Bible study habits, or anything like that. But certainly God was in his life. And oftentimes he's referred to as even as the type of Christ in many ways. So whatever training his parents must have given him, he got it. About environments, sometimes we talk about different environments being a force in people's lives. Well, Joseph went through different types of environments, and they had an effect on him, but he came through them because God was with him. One last force that I'll make mention of, and that is with Joseph's brothers, the idea of fear and the guilt that was tied with that. As they took and tried to suppress that, the guilt feelings, they put them in the pit there, and yet they knew that was wrong. And then they took and after having these encounters with Joseph initially and throughout the time until he finally revealed himself, even after his father died, there was always this fear of what they had done to him as being wrong and the guilt that they had. And it weighed heavily. And we don't have the time to look at the different verses about that. But fear is a tremendous force that worked throughout Joseph's brothers' lives. So with these different kinds of forces as examples, and maybe others that you've listed, the question I would ask you, the question I would ask myself, what are the forces that are at work in your life? What are the forces that are at work in your life? With regards to power, who is in control with your life? We have an example with Joseph. We have an example of the other people there. But there were certainly different forces that were taking place in Joseph's life. Many that are similar to our own lives, perhaps in many ways there. And how are we taking and dealing with that? What started me thinking about this idea of forces in people's life was thinking about this one term that I haven't heard very much spoken about, but to me, is the more I think about it, the more I keep thinking that's really a tremendous and a great force, and that's the word of deny. The fact of things that we deny as to being true in our life, that force is really a tremendous force, and it's something that's very difficult to overcome some things sometimes, because there are things that are true, but we deny that truth. And so it plays a tremendous amount of havoc in people's lives. The world doesn't necessarily think about denial, unless maybe you're in an Alcoholics Anonymous group or something along like that, which they might talk about it then. How do they think? Well, I put down these different thoughts as far as the world thinking. They think about position. They think about success. They think about style. Now, I don't know about Joseph's coat. Maybe he said, "Dad, hey, this is way out of style." I don't know. We don't have anything recorded about that. All we have is the results of what had happened with it, the fact of the hatred that built up. But style is something that the people seem to be concerned about today with. Location, where we're at. Education, what we get. They also think about the thought of positive thinking. And so they change the terminology into some of these other areas, but in a lot of cases they may be denying different things that are working in their life. Adam and Eve, what did they do after they had taken and done what they did in Genesis chapter 3 there? When God confronted them, what did they do? They passed the buck to the next person. So in this denial process, we blame something else. It's not us. It's somebody else. So the Eve blames the serpent, and Adam blames his wife. When we think about Cain and Abel, when God asks Cain about Abel, he denies, "I don't know." And Joseph, again, they denied, they headed to naked, denied what they were doing was being right. They put him in the pit. Judah was talking about, I think, feeling guilty. Reuben wanted to take and convince them from killing him to doing at least throwing him in the pit or something different there. And so they were denying what they knew to be true. And their actions went accordingly. But again, God was through working over the top of all of that. But there are some examples of denial in action there. And we have the dark side still present. We have the good and the evil still around with us. And what does an enemy normally do? How does an enemy win? By force. And by looking at what? Our weaknesses. They use the force over our weaknesses. And so we think of the person of the dark side, Satan himself. We had that last song, as I said, what if it were today? Satan's dominion will be over. But he does look for our weaknesses. And to me, I think this denying capability that we go through is a tremendous force that Satan uses in our lives to take and really hurt us. Tommy Allen gave us the thought, though, that Christ uses our weaknesses. He's strong in our weaknesses. When we're weak, then he can be strong if we realize that we're weak. We also have the verses, greater is he that is in you and he that is in the world. So even though we have this conflict between the dark side, so to speak, and the good, we have somebody that's greater, more powerful, the Almighty. And so he has the greatest amount of forces at his control. He has if you remember the definition again, the ability to take and do something and the capacity to take and do something. The ability to act and the capacity to do it. And God really fits the bill wonderfully there because he has the ability and the capacity to do all that we can do. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. There's much more that could be said about Joseph, but we had this verse in worship service this morning, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham, through him the world would be blessed. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then Joseph, we've been considering. Through the seed of Abraham, he didn't have to take on the form of an angel, but he took on the form of a man. And so I thought that was an interesting verse again as we look back to our study in Genesis here. And by the way, next in September there, we'll be moving on to Exodus. But it was through the seed of Abraham that the deliverer came. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, you saw this film clip, and you could look at the different things there. It looked like this evil empire head guy was going to have the victory, but he didn't in this particular case. And we have even somebody greater to look to. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3 is the one I wanted you to take notice of. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Even though it might seem that the powers are stronger, you need to take and consider him who went through the contradiction of sinners himself, being good, of having all that he had and giving it up and coming into this world and dying for us. Joseph was a type of Christ. Just one example is about hate. I mentioned about that. Christ also had this idea, they hated me without a cause. And so he's like a type of Christ in that one. Joseph revealed himself to his brothers finally, and Christ is going to take and reveal himself to the world as being the one that's the most powerful. Even though they might not see that right now, the one that's almighty, the one that everyone will have to take and bow the knee to. Again, the question would be asked to you this evening or this morning, what forces are controlling your life or involved in your life? And again, through the life of Joseph, perhaps you can take and consider that this week. I'm going to ask Jim Lehman if he'd just like to close our time in prayer this morning.